And good morning, and thanks for tuning into your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak. I'm joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore, and she is here to help us find out what to do to wake up our garden. That's our topic today. And this is a call-in show, so if you have questions about, getting your garden going early in the season, give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And good morning, Lee. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Maria, and thank you for inviting me.
And I have a question off the top, in that it's just been so nice and it seems like it's time to get out there. Is it too early? Because they talk about plant your seeds the 4 weeks before or 2 weeks before the last frost or whatever it may be. Is it time to start planting seeds, say vegetable seeds, or is it still too early?
You can plant indoors to take out later because you want to make sure that you don't take them out until after the first frost. Like, there was ice at my house this morning, and so any germinating seeds that you had out may have been killed by that. So it's too early. So now's the time to be patient.
Okay, so if you have something that says recommended to be planted outdoors, not transplanted, you need to wait until May?
I don't think you need to wait till May. But the way I decide when it's time to plant is not scientific. But I'll go out and use my digging fork and kind of loosen the soil and put my hands, my fingers down inside it and hold them there for a bit. And if they immediately start thriving because they're cold, it's too cold for the seeds. Don't put them in yet.
Okay.
And I mean, and don't dig down 12 inches. You need about 4 or 5 inches so that you can feel the soil. But that's how I tell.
Good advice. And it's a simple method.
It's definitely not scientific.
But hey, if it works. Okay, so what are some of the things you want to tell us about waking your garden?
Well, I think the gardens are already awake. I think they've had time to, with the sunny days that we've had, start bursting. But I want us to look at the garden from a different perspective to start with. And that would be like from a second story deck or window when you can look out and see your whole yard. And I think at this point you'll be amazed at the wonderful patterns you've created with color and texture. You can see how beautiful it is. You can also find empty spaces where you can find something new and different to plant in there. And it's time to get your garden shoes on, and they need to be a sturdy walking shoe so that your feet are protected. Get on your sun protection and your insect repellent, grab your camera and a notebook, and now go walk around in the yard and look to see what's there. And you take a pair of sharp clippers with you, cut some branches to take inside and force. I carry a bucket around with water in it.
You said take branches inside to force?
Yeah, cuttings off your trees, off your pussy willows, your lilacs, your maples, forsythia, those things, any flowering fruit tree that you don't mind taking branches from. I put mine in the bucket, then I take them into the shower and wash them off. Excuse me. Get rid of any bugs or debris that's there. Leave them in the shower till they dry, and then put them on the kitchen island, the dining room table, coffee table in the den, so that you've got it, look out the window and see it, but then you've got it right there beside you. If you have anything that's fragrant, how wonderful.
So just as a decorative, not
as
you're trying
decorative
to root it or something.
No,
okay,
no,
gotcha,
no.
Gotcha.
Woody stems don't root easily.
Yeah.
And this is, it's just something different that we haven't talked about, but it is nice and you can watch them develop. And then, your maple trees will last 3 to 4 weeks, and your pussy willows until they just kind of fall apart on the counter. But it's just different. You can peruse the garden stores and other stores for garden stuff, for new and interesting things to buy. Get something whimsical this year, or create something whimsical to put in the garden to give you a focal point, and make sure you put stuff up by your front door so as you're coming in, you're greeted by all these wonderful things. So, and be sure you share. Share some cuttings. Daffodils are in full bloom, hyacinths. Be sure you share.
How easy are the oak? Again, you would clip those.
Clip it's not, those, yeah.
Not like transplanting them.
No,
at this point, you couldn't do that
yet. Well, you could. You might not be successful. But these are plants and they're very forgiving. So if you want to try transplanting them, do it. So, I mean, the worst that can happen is you lose this year's bloom and you just have to wait till next year.
I had a, actually my bulbs that I had all dried out. I've never seen that, like completely disintegrated and there was nothing left. I don't know how such a thing happens.
The environment that they were stored in was just too dry. You know, when you feel a bag of bulbs at the store before you buy them, you want to make sure that that husk is full of meat or whatever you call the inside of a bulb so that you know it's going to grow. And if notice that when it says 8 bulbs, there might be 9, 10, 11 bulbs in there because they do dry out. They're not stored in a hermetically controlled environment. So if it dries out, toss it out, put it in the compost pile, start again. Yeah. There's always people with bulbs and plants to share, or, you know, the Garden Club plant sale is May 9th, and all the stores have things that you can buy and plant right now.
And I know when we had been talking before, you spoke about or mentioned to me the idea of cleaning up your garden mm-hmm. from the winter storms, because we had some pretty hefty
really
storms
did.
There.
Yeah. That's number one on the hardcore garden cleanup stuff is to, if branches are broken, you need to give them a new fresh cut so that they're not ragged. You need to make things look, I like to make things look symmetrical and not shaggy. Anything that's damaged or broken or dead needs to be removed. And if it's clean, you know, not diseased, put it in your compost pile. And if you don't have a compost pile, start one. But that would be the stems and leaves. If you have things like hellebores or bergenias, you know, plants that come out of the snow in full bloom, you need to remove last year's leaves so that this year's new shiny green leaves can get sunlight and you can see the flowers. And that stuff can go into the compost pile. So if leaves are down, you need to rake up the leaves. It's time to check on the strawberries. And if you want more strawberries, let the runners go. If you don't want runners and you want that central plant to get bigger, it's time to clean those up. Any garden chore unfinished last year needs to be first on the list for this year. So,
and what are those chores that maybe you forgot and didn't finish up last year?
Well, if you didn't weed everything, if you left things to be transplanted or divided, I use popsicle stick with a red dot, and that means work is needed in this area now. So, you know, lots of things need to be divided. You may need to rebury some things because for some reason it's not frost heave, but it's like that where they lift up out of the ground and you just need to push them back in. If you're gentle, you can step on the root area where it's out of the ground and squash it back down in and then cover it up with more soil or mulch. Need to make sure that the mulch isn't right up next to stems and trunks so that it doesn't create a moisture problem. All the debris needs to be cleaned up. Mulch it, toss it. You know, if you're not going to mulch it, I don't know what you're going to do with it. Or not mulch it, compost it. If the branches and things that you're removing are long enough, you can use them to make supports for lilies or anything that's growing tall. Tomato plants, it's too early to plant tomatoes, but you could have your seeds started. Yes. It's time to cut ornamental grasses. Now, they made it through the winter. They're still tall and floppy. And leaving the grass, the tallness there, helped protect the crown of that plant. And so now it's time to cut that so that the new growth comes out and is easily visible.
What are some ornamental grasses that people often have? I guess I've never known that people have that.
I can't give you specific names. We have sedges, which are tall grasses, mm-hmm. at Blue Star. I know some of pampas grass or plume grass. And they're just showy tall, and they usually have the fuzzy seed head flowers at the top. Yeah, and they look gorgeous. They just whip back and forth gently in the breeze, and it adds a lot of height and structure to the garden. You can get them all green, gray, variegated, just all different colors. And they should be in the nurseries soon. It's time to think about what, you know, getting your pots ready to plant. Now, in theory, we cleaned them up and put them away last year, put the soil in bins to dry. So it's time to get them out, check for damage, start filling them up so that when you come home from the store with all these wonderful new plants, that they're ready to be planted.
Okay, and when you speak of pots, are you talking large, small, all sizes?
I only get my big pots ready. I've got, most of mine are like 19 inches in diameter, and the soil will be dry, so it'll be easy for me to move around. But I'll especially put those on the deck. So I've got a wire rack for them to sit on, so there's no mold and mildew collecting underneath my pots, and then I'll go ahead and fill them. I can add a little bit of fertilizer, like 1/4 the amount recommended, and just leave them sitting there so that when I come home with new plants or I'm ready to do potatoes, everything is there. All I have to do is stick this stuff in. It saves time, makes it more fun. This is the hardcore gardening that you do before you do the fun stuff.
Okay, and if you you mentioned putting, I guess, drying your soil or putting your soil away, if you just left them in the pot, is there something you need to do?
Or? I would, yes. I think, and this is what I do, I take out about half the soil and make sure it's all, what's left is all stirred up, and then I will add in fresh soil, soil, compost, whatever else I think needs to go in there, sand for drainage, and stir that in before I start planting.
And do you have to add additional fertilizer or do anything like that to, or something to pots?
In theory, if it's new soil, you don't need to fertilize immediately. But if you're planting flowers that are heavy feeders or tomatoes that are heavy feeders, you need to establish a fertilizing program. That's where your garden journal comes in, so you know when the last time you fertilized, what you used, and how much, so that then you know when to do it again.
And here, given all the rain, I imagine it kind of depends on where your pots are. If they're on a covered deck or something, they aren't going to get as...
The nutrients don't wash away as quickly.
As if they were out, say, in the yard. So if you had, say, containers or whatever, maybe even just the garden, I guess, out there, and it's raining quite a bit, and I believe last year you said you generally add compost as opposed to foods or something. Is that correct?
I use all the compost that I make. There's no sense in making it if you're not going to use it. I also dump my potato bins in the garden after the third year so that I'm constantly getting new soil with aerators like bark chips and perlite, and I just stir all that together. I have what we called in California clamming forks, and they just look like a large dinner fork that I use to fluff the soil. You get down on your knees and sit there and just kind of scoop it like that. I know you can't see that, but just like
you're digging,
like
clams.
Stirring, no, yeah, sorry. like you're stirring stuff up to aerate it, move it around, add some fertilizer, and get it started, and then pat it with your hands, get it ready for new plants to come in, and the next rain will cause it to all settle and squash out the air spaces. If the soil's really wet, I suggest you not walk around on it because then it compacts it too much. When you're out there looking around, if you find bowls that have been created by loss of soil, you need to add something and fluff that up. And if it's a constant puddle of water there, figure out why and create new drainage or fill it up to make it more level with the rest of the area around it.
So do you periodically fluff up the garden, shall we say, throughout the season? You keep working up the soil, or do you just leave it be?
Well, I use what's called a Mount Vernon method of cleaning, and I use it inside and outside, and that you start in one place and you clean for however long you want to clean, for an hour, 2 hours, 8 hours, and you do everything to that area. You fluff it, you weed it, you fertilize it, and get it all ready. And then I cover it with a very thin layer of mulch so I know where I've been. So I can look at my garden right now from my second story window and I can see, oh, you didn't do that bed, you didn't do that bed, you only did half of that bed. So that's where I would start. But if you follow a pattern or a routine, you get a whole lot more done. And if you want to replant strawberries or plant strawberries, and strawberries are something you can separate now and plant or pot, because I don't think you can kill strawberries. And so it's a good time to do that. And you can double or triple the size of your strawberry bed just by separating and planting all those runners that are everywhere. So do that. But I think consistency and patience is what's really important this time of year in the garden.
Okay, and we do have about a little over 10 minutes left in the show. So if you have questions, please get them in now. Give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And are there other things we should be thinking about right now as we're getting early in the season of gardening?
Well, all the spring bulbs are in. So if you found empty spaces in your garden, you can put them in there, and then you'll have those bulbs again next year. You can also plant like lilies and what else is in right now? In pots so that you can move them around. I was just out at the nursery. What else was out there?
Now, I saw at the nursery, daffodils that were full bloom, tall plants. Can you transplant those? It just seems like once they're growing, it's kind of tough. Don't you just plant them as bulbs or no?
You can do both. If you receive or give a 5-inch pot or a planted daffodil tulip tubes, let them go ahead and finish blooming and then cut the blooms off, and then without disturbing them too much, take it out of that pot and put it where you would like for them to bloom in your garden next year. And it's, you know, like 50-50 chance that you would have those bulbs for next season. They would come back.
Okay, and we do have a call. Brenda has a question about rose bushes. Hello, Brenda. What's your question?
Hey, Lee. I'd like to know if you have experience with putting coffee grounds around the roots, digging them in, rose bushes. Used coffee grounds.
I don't have rose bushes, so I can't give you a specific answer. They do add a little bit of acid to the soil, and they do help repel slugs. I use a lot of coffee grounds around my strawberries.
Okay. And it helps repel slugs?
It does.
They don't like the texture?
They don't like the acid. Coffee grounds are acidic, and so they don't really care for acid things. And I don't know, unless you are a coffee shop, that you would have enough coffee grounds that you could damage anything with that acid. But sprinkle them around, work them in. It adds aeration to your soil.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you very much for your question. And again, if you have a question, give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And I believe also you wanted to speak a bit about a gardening journal.
Oh, yes.
And I know that's you're very into that. I have to admit, I tried last year. I was not as good at journaling as I should be. Was diligent for a while and then got too lax about it, so I'm going to try and do better this year.
I think if you're disappointed in the outcome of your garden or what's happening, that who wants to keep track of that? But if you keep track, especially of
successes,
you know, I planted this particular kind of spinach and it did not work, or I planted this particular grouping of lettuce and it was fantastic. So you know of the 20 different kinds of lettuce that's there, that you tried this and it worked. So try that one again and then add one more, and you will eliminate redos of negative experiences. So that's why I do it. I also have pictures. I keep track of what month things are blooming, so that, as you and I were talking earlier about the weather and how it's supposed to be so totally different this spring. Well, looking at last year's journal and this year's journal, things are blooming within a week of the time that they did last year. And so I'm going to say, yes, it was different, but it wasn't different enough to affect many of the bloom times of the plants.
I guess it did seem that way.
It did seem different, but you know, looking at the, you know, my notes, it seems pretty much the same. So, and I didn't lose a lot of stuff this winter, and things seem to be, you know, bigger and better than last year. Mm-hmm.
And it did seem definitely a milder winter. Had that one little, like, think cold spell in there.
Right.
And so many things never stopped being green. That's what I thought was very interesting.
That's right. That's true. But that's not an unusual thing here. We'll have 4 feet of snow, but the temperature won't be 20 degrees or 19 degrees. And so things just don't give up and die. They don't even go dormant. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that cold helps a lot of things. You know, it forces them to just stop for a bit, but not enough to change anything for them.
Okay, and again, we have a few minutes left in the show. Please give a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723 if you have questions. Were there other things you wanted to mention?
It's time to start your slug patrol.
I think it's always time to start your slug patrol. And it seemed that was something, though, that the slugs didn't go dormant.
They did not.
They were out and about. Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see slugs crawling around, all through the winter.
Well, it's whatever kind of control method that you use, whether it's organic or, you know, chemical, it's time to work on that. And if you keep the soil fluffed so the surface stays pretty dry, they don't, I mean, there's some areas in my garden that I just don't have slugs. And you can put out your slug houses or your bottles with beer or soda. They like 7-Up, they like Diet Coke, they like anything with sugar, Hummingbird water, they like that. And just put it out wherever you think the slugs are, and
they're not picky eaters.
They're not picky eaters. And keep debris cleaned up so that there's not places for them to hide. If you have lumber or things thrown around in your yard, you need to make sure that those things get picked up so that those aren't easy places for them to hide. And if you do have decorative things in the garden, make sure you pick them up now and then and look underneath them. And if you find the slugs, don't just throw them over the fence, because supposedly they travel at 1.1 miles per hour and they can get right back.
And your neighbor won't like you for
your
that either.
Your neighbor wouldn't like you, no.
So we do have another question. Barb has a question. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. I was looking for advice on how to start seeds indoors. Mine stay scrawny and spindly and don't do well when I take them outside.
Okay. Thanks, Barb.
It sounds to me like you didn't have enough light for them. I start my seeds on metal bookshelves under fluorescent tubes that are about 3 inches above the soil level, so that they get a full dose of light immediately, and that helps keep them compact. Barb, are you there? Did that answer your question?
I think she hung up on the line. And it can be not enough light, and also too cold. Also, is that true?
Because
it's too cold. Like, I couldn't grow. I tried to grow tomatoes both indoors and outdoors, and it's just, I'm in a cool location, even though there's a lot of sun. It's just cool. And I just found seeds, I didn't do really well starting seeds indoors. Eventually got carrots. By the end, it took forever, but had a great, actually really nice carrots, but it was very, very late in the season.
And I think last year was a very cool summer, and so it took things longer to mature. There are certain plants, like tomatoes, that I don't start my own seeds. Lobelia, most people can raise lobelia by the square acre, and I have trouble getting it to start, but once I get it started,
It grows. Well.
But it's easier for me just to buy a 4-inch pot already and go that direction.
Okay, and Rebecca has a question about getting your garden started. Rebecca, what is your question?
Well, I'm wondering about garlic.
And, oh, garlic.
Does that have to be started in November, or can you just stick it in this time of year and produce shoots? And
again, okay. I don't usually raise garlic, and one of our programs this spring was raising garlic and leek. And if I remember correctly, the person who did the program said you need to start it either if you want to harvest in the spring, you start in the fall. If you want to harvest in the fall, you start now.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Rebecca. I can't remember that. I know we have garlic out here, and I'm trying to think of when it was planted. I'm not the one who planted it, but I remember Deb, who planted it, just went with the recommendation
from
the grower, I guess.
And that's what I would do. Whatever recommendations come with what you buy, follow those directions as closely as possible. Even though our climate is very different than where most of the seeds are packaged in Missouri or California, you can follow the planting information and the growing information.
Yeah, and I purchased recently some seeds that are like, you know, organic, non-GMO, et cetera, with a lot of information on them. And all of them were meant for cool climates. So I'm kind of hoping we don't have too hot of a summer. But it sounded like for some of these things, you could grow year-round almost. It said like as long as the temperature doesn't get below 20 degrees or something crazy like that. So
I think that's true with many things.
Okay, and we have another caller, Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. What's your question?
Well, I have a tip.
Oh, a tip.
It's in the new Reader's Digest. It's about garlic. It says if you plant one garlic bulb in all of your planters, and maybe garden too, I can't remember, but it will keep the aphids and all those little buggies away from your
plant.
Oh, wow. So I'm going to try it just to see what happens.
I think I will, too.
It's worth a try, and it's healthy.
Yeah. Keep
right.
The bugs away, then we'll eat it.
Thanks for that tip.
Thank you.
Yeah, you never know. And I know there are certain plants that definitely can help keep other things away.
Lavender is supposed to be one of the best for keeping critters away. I don't know if it means, it means big critters like deer and moose and that stuff, but I don't know if it would also work for squirrels and voles and slugs.
And sometimes you have your sacrificial plants. I think, is it marigolds that slugs like or something? There's marigolds, something likes marigolds that you put them as a sacrificial plant, but I can't remember what.
I don't know, but if I could sacrifice that and keep them off my strawberries, I would do that.
Yes, there you go. Okay, we just have a few minutes left, so if you have any last questions, please give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723, and we will plan on having more gardening shows throughout the spring and summer, so do know that you will have other opportunities, but right now we're just talking about getting things going here at the beginning of spring.
Mother Nature, I think this year did a wonderful job getting things started with the bright sunny days, even a nice and cool day so things aren't stressed suddenly. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful summer.
Okay, and when you mentioned slug
patrolling.
What other things? I mean, there's many different methods that people use. You yourself use like the, say, beer house or whatever. Is that what you generally do? You pick them up?
Well, I don't drink beer, so I put
7-Up
syrup water in there,
oh, okay.
Sugar and water, because they're after supposedly the sugar or the yeast. And I have those. I also have the coffee grounds, diatomaceous earth, copper tape, just all kinds of things, because if one method doesn't work, hopefully another one will. You can buy outdoor paint with copper shavings in it, and so it's expensive, but that's supposed to work. I've seen people take their pots and glue pennies around the edge, so it sparkles, it turns green, but it's supposed to keep the slugs away.
Interesting. Well, it could be kind of an attractive art project as well.
It could be.
Okay. Again, we just have a few minutes left. Anything else you wanted to add?
May I speak of Garden Club?
Sure.
We're going to learn how to raise potatoes on April 20th at the library. Bruce Christensen will show us, tell us what he does. And he was referred to me as the king of potatoes. So we'll find out how he does. We have our plant sale May 9th, the Saturday before Mother's Day. So if you're looking to get mom or a loved one or a sister a blooming plant, come to our plant sale and it'll be heavily advertised.
And it also, the plant sale is usually, it seems like it's mostly flowers, but there are some things like strawberries and
there are
and
some edibles.
Some edibles as well.
We'll have lots of gooseberries, lots of strawberries, some herbs. I'm raising shallots and leek. Keep your fingers crossed. First year I've done either one. So you can find just about whatever you want at the plant sale. And if you ask this year, will you have this next year? We write it down and try and get it next year.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here
this
morning. And we will be in touch with you and check back in the future with other gardening shows. An announcement or two, and then Writer's Almanac.